I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2 and verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, and a sword will pierce through your own soul too, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And the bit part of scripture I wish to look at this evening is Anna. And Anna is not mentioned very often. This is her spot in the limelight. And she's a woman who's experienced difficulty. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. It's remarkable that she knew she was of that tribe. She belonged to one of the lost tribes of Israel. We would, of course, call her a Jew at this point in history, but she's of the tribe of Asher, not of Judah. Rather obscure. Furthermore, we know that she's of a great age. I imagine she finds getting about harder than she used to. I don't suppose she finds life very easy. We know that she'd been married, but that she was widowed. Judging by her age, I'm pretty sure Phanuel was dead as well. So the husband is dead, the father is dead, the men who we might expect to look after her and care for her. There's some question about how long she's been a widow. Most would say that she was a widow aged 84 years, but some would say that actually she's been widowed 84 years. Either way, she's an old lady, and for a long, long time, she has been alone. So here is a woman who knows trouble. Here is a woman who has experienced hardship and difficulty. She's gone through the grief of losing a husband. And yet we also note in the text a deep devotion. She did not depart from the temple. Presumably, she has made the temple in Jerusalem her home. How lovely is thy dwelling place. Quite where she lived, I'm not sure. The temple of Herod was rather grander and larger even than the temple of Solomon. There were all manner of courtyards and rooms here and rooms there. It would have been perfectly possible and quite easy to accommodate this elderly lady. Why does she want to live in the temple? We know from the rest of the Gospels that the people who ran the temple were not exactly known for their inner piety. But she knew that during that time she was alive, the temple was that visible picture of the presence of God on earth. Indeed, she's evidently devoting herself to God. Rather than looking for another husband or running about the cares of this world, she's dedicating herself entirely to worship. We're told that she served God with fastings and prayers. We sometimes imagine that praying is a way of getting God to serve us. But she has understood the nature of prayer. That praying is actually our way of submitting to his will. Not trying to bend his will to ours. Furthermore, she goes without food. She's regularly fasting. Not like the hypocrites of her day, to show off, or make her feel better when a tax collector rocks up. But part of her genuine devotion to that great god of the temple. And she does it night and day. If you went to the temple by day, there she is praying. And you come back later that night and there she is praying. When she gets out of bed the following day, there she is praying. You might think, well, what was she praying for? Some of us look at our own prayer times, our own times of private devotion, and realise how poor and short they are. But here is a woman who prays to God night and day and never tires of it. She enjoys that the company of the Lord. She enjoys that fellowship with her God. She might be a woman of obscurity from the tribe of Asher. She might only be a widow. She might only be an old lady who is always there. But there is a depth to her spiritual life which might have taught a Pharisee or a Sadducee a thing or two about real devotion, about a real relationship with God. Furthermore, we're told that she's a prophetess. She evidently communicates God's word. Perhaps not everybody does ignore her when they see her in the temple. And they ask her what she's doing. Well, if she has that depth of relationship with God, she would want to communicate God's word to those who come to her. In first century Judaism, there was a zeal, as we saw in Saul of Tarsus, but often that outward zeal, that outward show, never quite made it to the heart, which remained a heart of stone and not the heart of flesh, which Ezekiel the prophet spoke of. And any elevated, respected man who cared to interview Anna, that seemingly permanent feature of the temple, would have learned a thing or two about God. So her difficulties are apparent, but so too her devotion. Increasingly, I'm beginning to realise that the Lord allows his people to go through trial and difficulty and hardship because they bring about in us a far greater dependence upon him. That the self-sufficient, the comfortable, those who are at ease can never know. Had Anna still been married, I imagine she'd have made a perfectly good wife. She'd have been well regarded, but also long forgotten. Because of this devotion to the God who was both her father and her husband and her friend and her protector and deliverer, because of that, thousands of years later, we read about her and are inspired by her. But the greatest thing about Anna is not that she was a prophetess, not that she was of great age, not that she lived in the temple, not that she had a prayer life that puts everybody else's on planet Earth to shame, but that she encountered her deliverer. Verse 38, and coming in that instant, which instant? Well, I imagine it's the instant spoken of from verses 33 to 35, when Simeon speaks to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, and speaks of her son. So Simeon is speaking about him, and at that instant, she came in. She's been praying to the Lord for decade after decade after decade. And the God whom she has been serving and loving and worshipping has come to her. As a baby. And she recognized him. He came to his own, but his own received him not. They didn't recognize him. He's just a carpenter, just a renegade rabbi, just a rebel. She recognized him for who he was. And in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. The deliverer of whom she had been reading, of whom she had been speaking, in whom she had been hoping, had come. Then the Lord whom you seek will come to his temple. Here he is. We don't know what she did. Like Simeon, does she bless the child? Bow before the child? We know not. But she gave thanks to the Lord. We know that many at that time were looking for redemption. That's the phrase used in verse 38. Many were seeking the promised Messiah, the deliverer, the one who had been longed for, hoped for, the desire of nations. And she understands that he has come. Did she understand the cross and the resurrection? Maybe not. Or maybe so. But she trusted that the God of Israel would find a way to redeem Israel and the wider nations. Not by that temple, but by the one to whom that temple had always been pointing. Not by the thousands of bloody sacrifices made year on year, already referred to in our time of prayer, but the one to whom they all pointed. And here he is. She's had a long life. She's had a hard life. But now it has all been worth it. Had she been living with her husband, she might never have met him. Here is that prophetic widow who's devoted her life to the Lord. And now the Lord has revealed himself to her. And what does she do in verse 38? She spoke of him. Well, that's prophetic, if anything is prophetic, to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody who does not know him. She spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And maybe those who were looking for redemption went to the temple. They looked at the animals, they looked at the blood, they looked at the priesthood. Well, Anna knows the one they've really been seeking. Searching for, longing. He has come. She might not fully understand, maybe half as much as we do, and we don't understand very much, do we? But evidently that phrase in verse 38 shows her understanding that the child was a redeemer. One who had come to buy back, to bring back, to restore, to remove the flaming sword from Eden and usher us home to escort us up that ladder to heaven. and make us right with God. Anna warrants just a handful of verses in the Bible, but every one of them, like the woman herself, is precious. Amen.